Hello friends, Denny Pruto here with another lesson from 1 John. In this lesson we're looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Again, I have the New American Standard Version, and I'm going to read the text from the New American Standard Version. You follow along in your own Bible. Hear now the text. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Why do we select 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 as a complete text? Well, there are a couple of reasons. The first is that in verse 1, John changes his demeanor. He changes his approach to those to whom he's writing. My little children. John begins to talk to those to whom he's writing as little children, as a father speaks to the members of his family. Of course, the members of the church are adopted children of God. And as a pastor, and especially as an elderly pastor, John looks at the flock and thinks of them as little children. In the first part of 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, John speaks to the church from the position of authority as one who was among the apostles. Look at verse 3 in chapter 1. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What we have seen, that is, what we have seen and heard as apostles, we are now proclaiming to you. And so John has this position of authority over those to whom he's writing. Now when we come to the second part of chapter 1, John again shifts slightly. In verse 6, he retains this position of authority, but then in verse 7, makes a subtle shift. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not tell the truth. You see, now John associates himself with those to whom he's writing, and he brings himself down to their level. We, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness. Now in verse 1 of chapter 2, he again shifts slightly and begins to speak to those members of the congregation as a father would tenderly speak to his own children. Verse 1, at least the beginning of verse 1, also indicates that John's desire is that the people of the church, the members of the congregations, should not sin. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. If they do not sin, and they seek to walk in a manner in which they keep the commandments of God, they will be walking in a manner similar to that of Jesus Christ. And so, what John says at the beginning of verse 1 is similar to that which he says in verse 6. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. You ought to walk like Jesus Christ. The beginning of verse 1 and verse 6 in this section of Scripture act as bookends around our text. And so we select verses 1 through 6. Look again now at verse 1, the beginning of verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's one who is called to stand next to us and to represent us before God the Father. He is, as it were, our counsel, our legal counsel before the Father. What a wonderful thing this is, that Jesus Christ, as he represents us before the Father, says to the Father, these are your children. These are my brothers and sisters. I went into the world to die for them, to pay the penalty due to them for their sins. And now, Father, accept them because of what I have done for them. Jesus Christ, in this way, represents us before the Father. He is our advocate. And when we sin, and we will sin as children of God, when we sin, we must ask God's forgiveness and then remember that Jesus Christ represents us before the Father. And verse 2, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for our sins. He took God's wrath against sin, which was directed at us, and Jesus Christ stepped in the way and took that wrath upon himself so that we do not receive that wrath from God for our sins. What a wonderful thing this is. Guilt for sin is no longer ours because of what Jesus Christ has done. Thank you, Lord, for your good work. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Think about it this way, friends. Either Jesus Christ pays the penalty for your sins, or you must pay the penalty for your sins yourself. That's the way it is. God does not believe in double jeopardy. In other words, if Jesus Christ pays the penalty for your sins, you are not required to pay the penalty for your sins also. That would be double jeopardy. But we know that there are those who go to their graves not believing in Jesus Christ and unfortunately are consigned to the depths of hell. There they pay the penalty due to them for their sins. And so what does John chapter 1 and verse 2 mean? And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. What John means is that there are members of every family, members of every tribe, members of every ethnic group represented among the people of God. And every tribe and tongue and people and nation will be represented in heaven. From this perspective, the whole world will be represented in heaven. Not every human being that ever lived, because some of them will be paying the penalty for their own sins. And they will not be in heaven, unfortunately. But there will be members from every tribe and tongue and people and nation of the whole world represented in heaven. And so the end of verse 2 is understood. Verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Yes, if God so changes us on the inside, and if his love expressed in the propitiation he worked out on the cross, if his cross work is brought home to our hearts and applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we will seek to follow God's commandments. If the love of God is poured out in our hearts and we love God because he first loved us, we will seek to keep his commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus says. And so, verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Oh, you cannot say, I know God, and then at the same time shun the commandments of God, fail to walk in the commandments of God. Oh, yes, we will sin, but when we are convicted of our sin, we will go and seek God's forgiveness, and we will remember that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. He took the wrath of God on our behalf, and Jesus Christ is also our advocate before the Father. We'll remember that, and we'll give thanks to God that we are members of his family. But if we shun his commandments and refuse to walk in them, we cannot say that we do belong to him and that we know him. John Gerstner used to tell the story of speaking on a college campus, and he was speaking on the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And as he was speaking on the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, a note wound its way up through the college audience to the platform. And when Dr. Gerstner read the note, it said something like this: I am living with my girlfriend, and I have the love of Jesus in my heart, and you can't tell me anything differently. Dr. Gerstner simply went to that same passage that Paul gives us when he records the deeds of the flesh, and he read it, and it says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, this is what John is telling us in verse 4. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Such an individual, like this young man and this young woman, are deceived. They need to repent of their sin and turn to Jesus Christ and seek forgiveness for their sin. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. Here is an interesting and difficult passage. Again, verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. What do the words love of God mean? Do these words mean love we have for God, or do these words mean love that is like God's, or do these words mean love that comes from God? I think it's the latter. We cannot say that our love for God is perfected in this life. It does not come to perfect maturity in this life. Yet, we can say that the love of God, which is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reaches its goal in our lives, in that we are changed so that we seek to follow the commandments of God. And this is God's desire for us, that we should seek to follow his commandments, that we should live differently, that our behavior is actually changed because an inner change has taken place in our lives. This is God's love poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And also, if you would, look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the outward demonstration. The propitiation is the outward demonstration of God's love. And then God comes along by the power of his Spirit and pours that Spirit out in our hearts and applies that love in our hearts. He applies the work of Christ to us in our hearts. God's love poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us, as the Apostle Paul says. And when God's love reaches its goal in our hearts by bringing about change so that we desire to follow the Word of God and follow the commandments of God, that's a signal. Look again at verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, desires to follow his word and to keep his commandment. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God, God's love for us, has truly been perfected, has reached its goal of changing us so that we begin to follow him. By this we know that we are in him, John says. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Yes, we ought to seek to walk in the way Jesus Christ walked. On the whiteboard, I have again the main point of the text. And I've called this lesson God's Perfect Love, because God's perfect love is applied in our hearts and reaches its goal so that we, in turn, are changed. So here's the point. See, this is the lesson of the text. This is the application, if you would. If you seek to walk like Christ by keeping God's commandments and not sinning, see, if you seek to walk like Christ by keeping God's commandments and not sinning, then God's love in Christ, your propitiation and advocate, as we've described them, your propitiation and advocate reached its goal in you and you know him. In other words, God's love has been poured out in your heart, and this is evidenced by the fact that you seek to walk like Christ by keeping God's commandments and not sinning. And if you sin, you remember that you have a propitiation, that the sacrifice of Christ was for you, and you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And so, friends, here's the simple application. If indeed you seek to walk like Jesus Christ walked, if you seek to keep God's commandments, and if you seek to not sin, and when you sin, seek God's forgiveness, then God's love in Christ has reached its goal. That is, God has been at work changing you on the inside, and you do have a relationship with him. Again, if you seek to walk like Christ by keeping God's commandments and not sinning, then God's love in Christ, your propitiation and advocate, has reached its goal, and you do know him. Herein, friends, is your assurance of salvation. Thanks for listening.